and look and take, I want you to take, let's compare something first. Take 2 Timothy in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and take Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right, and we're going to and just look at the difference about this. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice in verse, 3:12. I'm in Colossians. I got to get there. There it is. All right, in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, you notice the word will. It has to do with your will, your heart, your desire. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Come back to Colossians just for a moment. In Colossians chapter 1, and the Apostle Paul verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. So Paul had to suffer for the body's sake, which is the church. Now he filled up something about the sufferings of Christ. In other words, it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ didn't suffer enough. But when Jesus Christ was on that cross, he suffered. Now, he not only suffered physically, but he suffered spiritually. He didn't cry out on that cross and say, my God, the pain is greater than I can bear. He didn't do like Cain and say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And so he suffered. And they buried him, his body. And on the third day, he arrived. Now, he can't suffer no more. He is ascended far beyond the heavens now. He's up there out of the universe. And the devil and the world and all of the demoniac forces can't get to him. Now, he suffered for your salvation. So Jesus Christ needed to get the message out. And so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, enters into a man, and that man is called Saul, Paul, and he takes that message of what Jesus Christ did, and Christ in Paul, and Paul is suffering to get the message of grace out, so that you and I could be saved. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look back in Timothy again. In 2 Timothy. Now notice in 2 Timothy in chapter see which one I want to go. Verse chapter 2 again. Notice what he says there in verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein? What? That gospel, right? Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, to keep from suffering, he also will deny us. Now, you want to stop the suffering. You want to stop the affliction of the gospel. Then quit preaching it, teaching it, talking about it, standing for it, supporting it. You see, folks, what they did to Paul because of what Christ did, they can't do it to the Lord. They can't get to him no more. And so they are coming after you if you stand for the message of grace. And you support the message of grace. You believe the message of grace. And you have a desire to get that gospel, that what Christ did, out, so that others might be saved by the same grace that you're saved. Then the demoniac forces and this world, they're going to hate you because they hated the Lord. And they hated Paul. And they considered him an evildoer. And they'll consider you an evildoer. And you will suffer. Now that's one of the aspects. But before we go on further, I don't want to get too far. Look back in Deuteronomy. And notice the difference in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. On and on the thing goes, folks. Well, you know that ain't today. Today you suffer in the dispensation of grace, what we living in. It's a time that, they can't get to him. So Paul said, I've filled it up. I got the message out. And they that follow me is going to suffer. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Turn to Philippians. You see, the nation Israel, if they obeyed back here the commandments, what was they going to get? Blessed. I mean, it's the fruit of their labor. They bless prosperity. They get all of the wealth. I mean, they become the head, not the tail. I mean, everything they touch turned to gold. Man, if they followed God, God would just bless them right and left physically. Well, why ain't he doing that today? Because we're in a different time period. And you can pray, as Robbie was talking about, and you can ask things, and there are things that God does do for the believer. But most of the time when you're praying for some physical thing, it's usually, you know, I have people come up to me and say, you know, I asked the Lord, if I win the lottery, you wouldn't have to work. Like that's going to make a difference to the Lord whether I work or not for your behalf. Now you know what that is, folks. Lord, you'll let me win the lottery. I'll give so much this. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know what you're doing? That lottery becomes a sin to you there. You know why? You're tempting the Lord. And thou shalt not tempt him. When you say, Lord, if I do that, why don't you just say, Lord, boy, I'd like to win that lottery. And I just ain't gonna tell you what I'll do. I'm probably gonna spend it all on myself. And you ain't getting none of it. You'd come more nigh him doing something than you would trying to bribe him to get let you have it so he can get some work done. I don't know why I said all that, but and I don't know what that's got anything to do with anything, but most ask to consume it on their own flesh instead of for the glory of the Lord. Now notice this thing about this thing. Why do we suffer? Where does it come from? Number one, it comes from being Christ. Sufferings of Christ. Paul talks about the afflictions of the gospel. You see that? I mean, you think about it. You're in 2 Timothy. Look back in chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is manifest by the appearing. And that would be the appearing of the Lord unto the Apostle Paul. That's when this purpose of grace was made manifest. It's by the appearing. Well, certainly wasn't appearing back here when he was born, the baby. It wasn't there when he was baptized by John. And it wasn't there in his appearing. I mean, he appeared to the Apostle Paul. And he gave him the purpose and grace of this body of Christ in here. And for this body is the body of Christ, and what they do to Christ, they'll do to you. And the message of grace is hated. Look back with me to 1 Corinthians, and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. No, I'm saying chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, and Satan is called the prince and the power of the air. And in Daniel 10, you find out who them princes are. They're the rulers in heavenly places out there. and said, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And they realized after it was done what they had done, and they're mad about it, so to speak. And you go out and you support this good news, and you support this the mystery, and you believe the mystery, and you proclaim the mystery. Bless your heart, they're coming after you. And the reason why people don't want to believe the truth, a lot of them, because they don't want to suffer. And they are ashamed. And Paul said, be not ashamed of the Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And if you're ashamed of the Lord, and you don't want to be associated, you don't want that persecution. So they go in there among the trees, just like Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, they sewed fig leaves together, and they hid themselves among the trees. You know what them trees represent today? It's they represent the religious systems of the world, and the fig leaves is their own self-righteousness to cover up their nakedness and before God. And men and women today across this world, they're hid among the trees thinking that God don't know where they're at. They're ashamed. And God said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Stand for the truth of the gospel. This is what got you saved. It's what happened. This is the work of the Lord. This is what He's doing today. And you believe it, you'll suffer for it. Look in what He says in chapter, let's see, and let me get there first. 1 Corinthians, you're there. Notice, let's see, 2 Corinthians. Let me just go there. So, well, what about? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And you think that people don't suffer? Look in chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction, and anguish of what? Now I want you to underline that. I want you to see where the battle's really at. Now we are not tied to a stake and burned alive in this day that we're living in. You understand? And we're not being thrown. Thank God for that. Now it might come down that we might have to take a stand for the King James Bible and be arrested because we believe the truth of God's Word someday. I don't know. I don't know what's coming down the pike. But I do know this. I know the devil hates the message of grace more than anything in this world. And if he could stop you right now in your tracks, don't you think he won't? He'd kill every one of you. He hates you. He's not your friend, and the friend of this world is an enemy to God. This world is not your friend. Now look at this thing. He said, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Turn over to chapter 10 now. In chapter 10. How do we live in this time? We're going to suffer for this message if we believe it. We suffer, there's a lot of us might suffer some physical things. The devil might come on and put something physically on you. That's what he did. Well, we'll get there. In verse 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't put up our fist and duke it out with somebody. You're going to fight. I'll run. I'm like Brother Moore. I come from a long list of cowards. I ain't going to fight. I'm too old anyway. And my back, guys, Lord, have mercy. No way. We don't war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here it is. Remember Paul said, anguish of heart, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know all the anguish and the battles at most of the time in our day? It's in our minds. Look with me in Ephesians. Now hang on to 2 Corinthians because we're going back there. But look in Ephesians chapter 6. Suffering. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. You have the armor of God. It's His armor. It's His righteousness. It's His helmet of salvation. It's His shield of faith. Everything you need to do is just stand, and that's all you can do. You don't fight. You stand. Well, I believe it. I believe the book. I believe that the only way a man can get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of His Son on the cross. Well, we don't believe it. I believe it. Well, we don't like you. I don't care. I believe it. I believe it. I believe the gospel. Well, we're going to cause you pain. I'm believing to get stubborn with it. That's what He said. And stand. Don't be ashamed. Don't crawl off in some corner. Don't feel like a second-class citizen. You're one of God's children. You're a son of Almighty God. People say, would you like to be the president? I wouldn't want to stoop that low. I'm a God-called preacher of the gospel of Christ. That's the highest calling you've got. Stand. Stand. And the devil comes at you. Look back in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. What's he going to do? Old Paul had these visions and he had a lot of revelation. Notice in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. You know, sometimes the Lord allows afflictions to come our way to keep us humble. That's what this is about. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, I heard your prayers and going to answer it and take it away. No. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, when you're suffering, and there's something that buffets you, whether it's mentally, physically. Which would you rather have? The power of Christ or relief from the suffering. Your flesh would say relief from the suffering, but the inward man says, I'd rather glory in this suffering that I might have the power of Christ. A lot of people, maybe some of them I'm talking to right now, you have an infirmity in the flesh. Maybe there's something about your body or something that pains and you suffer every day. And that suffering keeps you humble before the Lord and appreciative of what the Lord has done for you. And you resting in His grace. And He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Isn't that something? My grace. So we suffer for the afflictions of the gospel. We suffer in order to stay humble. Do you know what the Bible said? And I don't have time to go through all, but knowledge puffeth up. I've seen people that started right division, and they begin to read and they learn a lot, and their head gets bigger than the car. And they get blowed up and think they're something. And they know more than anybody. And something happens. Bam! What happened? God brings them back down on the level. Oh, why did this happen to me? Your pride. Paul said it was given to me and he buffets me. I believe probably had to do with his eyes. And I believe it humiliated Paul. I believe that Paul was humiliated when he stood before people. Probably something that embarrassed him. And he got down three times and said, Lord, can't you move this, remove this? And finally, after praying three times, the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know that if Paul's our example, then after you pray about three times for something, then you ought to leave it alone. If the Lord is not going to do nothing in three times, then you might as well just hush up. You see, one of the things that sort of frustrates me as a Christian is sometimes I want the Lord to see the need that I see that He just doesn't see the need that I see. And you can't get Him to see it. No matter how much you pray, you're not going to change God. He's going to do according to His will. So we accept it, realizing He knows best. We suffer to keep us humble. We suffer because of the curse of sin that's on us. Look back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Look back in verse 18, for I reckon, I add it up, come to this conclusion, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together now. You know why your body aches and pain and you have pain? Because of sin. You know why that child was born? Sin. The imperfection. Look in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Sin. We suffer because we're in a world that's cursed by sin. And we're physical in a body that has to be redeemed someday and changed. And you know what Paul calls your body in Philippians chapter 3? He says, your vile body. And he says, there dwelleth no good thing that is in my flesh. He said, when I do good, evil is present with me. And he calls it sin. You know why we age? We get aches and pains. We're dying, folks. We come into this world. Job says, as a man born to a woman, he's full of trouble. As sparks fly up from a fire. You throw a log in a fire and the sparks fly up. That's how sure you're going to have trouble. Happens to all, saved or lost. You see, the curse of sin pricks the lost as well as the saved. You go down through a briar patch, them old sinners get them briars just like the Christians do. Amen? What am I saying? That it has no respect to person. We're born in a physical world, a physical body that has aches and pains, and things as bad is going to happen, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Look in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that if you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Bear what? I read some of you's lips. Go ahead and say it. The temptation. Did he say he'd take it away? Paul called that over there, that he said it was a temptation in his flesh. No, he gives you grace that you might be able to bear it. And there's no temptation taking you such as common to man. You know what the man should have told that little young lady that had the little child? There are hundreds of little children that's been born like that. Maybe thousands. I don't know. But they should have said this happened. And you see, folks, it ain't that God says, well, I look at you, I'm going to let this happen to this one, and I'm going to let that happen to this one. True story. Here's two girls riding in a car going down the highway. They veer off the road into the path of another one, head-on collision. Both girls are Christians. Both girls die. No, one lives, the other dies. That's how it was. I think the driver lived, going like this. This car was coming this way. This car was, and they veered off, sleepy, whatever. driver, the passenger got the blunt hit like this. The passenger, Christian, driver, Christian, the passenger died at the scene. The driver didn't. Do you think God thought more of this family that let this girl live than he did the one that didn't? No. That's part of being in this sin-cursed world that we're in, folks. Paul says it's God's will that he deliver us from this evil world. You ladies stay at home at night. You men, you're at home at night. I suggest you lock your windows and doors. Somebody come in on you. You say, well, I'll pray. Well, let me tell you what you do while you're praying. You dial 911 and get Joel up there as quick as you can. Or one of his deputies or whatever. That's what you do. You get up in the world, you go to work, and you don't sit at home and say, God, I believe you. You're going to feed me. You'll starve. We're in the dispensation of grace. If a man don't work, let him not eat. In this day, we walk by faith, not by sight. We suffer. And we suffer because of the curse of this world. We suffer because of one other passage. And look in this principle in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, people talking about, like Paul, that they're evil, slanders reported. But he said sin that grace may abound. He suffered wrongfully. They made up things about him, and they will you too. They'll say you believe stuff that you don't believe. They'll say you preach and teach stuff that you don't believe and teach. They say you're going to a cult and you're not going to a cult. They'll talk about you wrongfully. That's what he said. For what glory is it if, when ye are be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well, you live your life for the glory of the Lord and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable unto God. In other words, you're like Paul said in Romans 8, we're waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. We're waiting to get out of this world. We're waiting for the Lord. And so we're standing and we're suffering. We just wait patiently for that day over there. Now look what he said there. He said, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults? You know why a lot of people suffer? They make bad decisions. Bad choices. That causes pain and grief. Had they not made their bad choices and grief or decisions, they wouldn't be suffering like they do. A woman makes a decision, I'm going to marry this man in spite of what she knows about him. Well, I'll change him, blah, 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 all of this. And then he goes out and he beats her half to death all the time. She's suffering because she made a bad choice, right? Knew better. Same way with a man. And by the way, while I'm saying that, you ladies, young girls in here, and young men, Don't think marriage is going to change your partner. You better like them the way they are if you're going to marry them, or don't think you're going to change them after you get married. That don't work. And if they don't love the Lord before you get married, you better leave them alone. Because chances are they're not going to love the Lord after they're married. And you'll cause have grief. Now, suffering. We suffer for the truth. We suffer because they can't get to our Lord, and our Lord dwells in us, so they get to us. The demoniac forces, they after this body that believes the truth. And a lot of this body's taken captive by Satan at his will, and they're taken captive, and they're locked up in vaults of denominations, and they can't get out, and they don't want to get out. They're hid in there, and they're not suffering in there. They're glorying in that denomination. Well, let me tell you something. If you're that way, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there's where you will suffer. You don't suffer for the truth down here, buddy, you're going to suffer right there. And that whole lot's going to suffer back here for getting the gospel out and for the Lord down here than to suffer at the judgment seat of Christ and see my rewards and my crowns of glory go up in smoke and there stand. It's too late then. We suffer for the truth. We suffer because of this sin-cursed world, things happen to the bad, and we suffer because we make bad choices in our life. So what's the moral of the story? Trust the Lord. Make decisions based upon what the Word of God says. Let God's Spirit, through His Word, guide you. So will I keep me from suffering? No. Just give you grace. Right. Shake hands with one.